One, two, three. Good morning, Tucson. Welcome to this Wednesday edition of the show, Hump Day, Tucson. You made it, as I always like to say. When I see Ray on the other side of the glass and I see Wednesday pop up on the screen, I know we've made it. It just finishes fast from here. And for some of you, you're saying, thank goodness. But hopefully you're having a good week. Thanks for making it to the middle of it here with us on the show. I'm your host, Zach Yenser. Daily, Monday through Friday, 9 to 10 on the Creative City Show, we share the stories and strategies of the people and ideas shaping Tucson's future. And along the way, we envision, we debate, we discuss the issues and themes critical towards getting us there. We've got a packed show for you today, so we'll jump right into it. We're going to talk mentorship, and we're going to talk about an open studio tour where you can go see where artists create their art here in Tucson. I'm really excited to share this event coming up with you in November. But first, we have Michael Brasher in studio and my friend as well. I'm meeting Michael for the first time. We also have here documenting this, Anthony, a good friend of mine, known him for a couple of years in Tucson. And they're part of an exciting event coming up at the end of the week here in Tucson, the Boys to Men Mentoring Luncheon, with keynote speakers that about 80% of Tucson will probably recognize one way or the other. So we're going to get into it. Michael Brasher, thanks for being in studio.
Thanks for having me, Zach. I'm really excited to be here and just have a chance to talk to folks about our mentorship initiative to show up for young boys here in Tucson.
And you are the executive director of Boys to Men Tucson. And just to be clear, you're not the less known member of Boys to Men. This is not the music group. It's a different Boys to Men, right? I didn't realize when I recorded my promo that I was going to confuse people. So if you were expecting the Motown group Boys to Men, Michael Brasher is not it, but you're a different Boys to Men.
I'm a different Boys to Men, although sometimes you can find me at the Best Western on a Friday night hitting the karaoke pretty strong with End of the Road.
I'm not sure it's the same thing, but
it's not the same thing.
Close.
my goodness. Yes, that's true. We're a different Boys to Men, but it's a pretty literal take on it. The work that we're involved in here in Tucson is pretty directly trying to show up and figure out how do we accompany young folks who are making that transition from being a boy into being a man, and to say, you know, how do we as a community shepherd them through that process in a really intentional, thoughtful way, so that we can help to raise citizens and young men who are living in integrity, making choices that benefit the whole community.
The challenge that drives Boys to Men, as I understand it, is that the number of boys growing up without reliable men in their lives has reached epidemic proportions. Could you describe what you mean by boys growing up without reliable men reaching epidemic proportions? You're the executive director. Did you start Boys to Men Tucson, or did you step into the role?
I didn't, actually. I stepped into the role just recently in April, I've been involved in men's work here in Tucson for the last several years. I was with the Emerge Center Against Domestic Abuse doing some men's programming, preventative work, organizing. But I've worked with Boys to Men in their school circle program for a long time, so have been familiar with their work. Well, I'll tell you, actually, because describing the problem and describing my route into it are kind of the same answer. So, you know, I spent a lot of work, a lot of time doing domestic violence work with men who were trying to figure out the roots of their violence, work on it, change it, learn how to show up for their family and break intergenerational cycles of violence and harm and neglect and things like that. And in doing that work with the grown men, the inevitable consequence of your best work with men is I really wish somebody had begun to show up and have these conversations with me when I was young, because for so many men, not just in you know, Southern Arizona, but across the country today, the examples that we're growing up with are just, there's not a lot of great examples, you know, whether you're talking about publicly or privately, what young boys experience about the type of manhood that is glorified, whether it's in their neighborhood, in their household, or sometimes through the media, isn't going to help them to be who they want to be. And so, Yeah, I would say when we look at a range of statistics when it comes to public health issues, such as addiction, violence, criminality, suicidality, mental health, things like that, you are looking at one, it's predominantly things where it's men who have grown up in households either without a father figure or the man who was in their household was violent, abusive. And when boys grow up in that environment, they're really not set up to step into a strong, healthy identity.
We're with Michael, the executive director of Boys to Men Tucson. Frederick Douglass is famous for saying it's easier to build strong children than it is to repair broken men, and it sounds like that's what kind of drove you through the back door to Boys to Men, that you were working with broken men.
Exactly.
And you said, boy, it'd be easier if I could be on the front end of this.
Yes.
than on the back end of this. We've got about 3 minutes before we go to a break, and I want to talk about this exciting luncheon coming up.
Yes.
That is involving UA President Robbins. Well, you Arizona now. You Arizona.
Yeah, that's right.
President Robbins. And you Arizona football coach Kevin Sumlin. Great man in the community supporting this work. But how do you bring mentors around these younger men in our community? What's kind of a snapshot of how you do that through Boys to Men Tucson?
Yeah, and so a big part of our work is really just to call in and inspire and empower men to step into this role, because it's only men who can show up for these boys, you know? And so a big part of our work is to call them in. But so something that we do that your good friend who is documenting us here this morning, Anthony, does every single week is they just go into schools across Southern Arizona. We're currently in 11 schools. We're also in the juvenile detention center, and we're getting ready to expand into several more schools in the spring. There's a waiting list of schools that want to bring our mentorship circles into their schools. But every single week, you know, a group of men will go into a school and they'll sit down in a circle with a group of boys. And it's the same men and the same boys every single week. We have a really basic framework that we use to sort of hold the circle, hold our agreements with one another, hold one another's trust and confidence. And it becomes this really exceptional space where the boys can let down their mask and really share the things that a lot of times it's not safe for boys, teenage boys, to share with folks in their community. And they can get validation, mirroring from those men. They can ask for help. They can, you know, get counsel or feedback if that's something that they want. And it's really just about training the men to hold a safe space for the boys to let their guard down and be really a lot more vulnerable than most of us ever are. And we know that's transformative when they can do that.
We'll talk about this a little bit after the break as well, because I don't want to cramp it. But you have adventure outings.
That's
you
it. Mm-hmm.
Provide training to mentors. So you set these relationships up. You curate them. You
yes.
train the mentors.
Mm-hmm.
You create great experiences with the mentees.
Yep.
And you find that the adult men that are a part of this are actually benefited to a huge degree as well. So I want to talk about all this when we come back from the break. I love how you put it, Michael, the executive director of Boys to Men Tucson. A lot of the problems we see in our community could be solved by, in this case, young men having good older men in their lives. I couldn't agree more. We're going to talk about an exciting luncheon where you're getting some great community support for Boys to Men Tucson after the break. You're on 1030 The Voice, trusted local news and talk, the Creative City Show with me, your host, Zach Yenser. We'll be right back. Don't go anywhere. Tucson, we're back. Thanks for hanging out with us here on the Creative City Show. We talk about people and ideas shaping Tucson's future, and I can't think of too many things that are more important to shaping the future than mentorship and training up the next generation. And we're talking with the Boys to Men Tucson mentorship group here that is doing just that. Have you ever wondered what a working artist studio looks like? Tucson is a great arts community. How is it done? Where is it done? What does it look like here in the city? We're going to answer that question at the bottom of the hour. This November, Open Studio Tours invites the public into 150 artists' working studios to explore where and discover how they create their art. We're going to talk with Carol Varney, the executive director of the presenting organization, Arts Foundation for Tucson and Southern Arizona, in just a minute. So stay tuned for that. But we are with Michael. He's executive director of Boys to Men Tucson. It's easier to train up good young men than to repair broken men later on. It's just better to get a right foundation in the beginning. We're going to talk about the kind of the hows and the whats of Boys to Men Tucson. We have a lot of great men and women who listen to this show, but in this instance, it's a men's mentoring program. Right. I got a lot of great men who I think would be great mentors for the younger men in your program. So I want to make sure that they can call 790-2040 to ask any questions or to get involved. But a huge community focal point is this Friday, the Boys to Men Mentoring Luncheon, featuring keynote speakers U Arizona President Robbins and U Arizona football coach Kevin Sumlin. Tell us about the mentoring luncheon, how that came to be. You got some of the most high-profile men in our community a part of it. What do you hope to do at this luncheon?
Yeah, thank you. So this is actually our third year of doing this luncheon, which is the community conversation about boys. But in the past, it has really been a smaller sort of practitioner event for folks involved in the work. And what we had the opportunity to do this year is partner with the university and really increase our reach and increase the impact. The purpose of the luncheon, I think, is twofold. You know, one, we're raising some money. That's important. We have a silent auction. If folks get on any of our social media pages, at Boys to Men on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, we'll be putting links for the silent auction, and those are open to the community. So we're trying to raise some money to expand our programs into new schools in the spring. But I think the more important thing is really getting the message out there. And just promoting some awareness, which for us is that if the men in Tucson don't take responsibility, personal responsibility for initiating and accompanying the whole community of young boys that are coming up around here into a responsible, thoughtful, intentional manhood, that work's not going to get done. You know, and I can say, for example, you know, I'm a dad. I can be a great dad. And tend to be a great dad. But at the end of the day, my son also needs other men in my life to be there for him. You know, he's not, there's conversations he's not going to have with me. I are always going to have a particular relationship, no matter how great of a dad I am. And so I need the other men in my life, my friends, my colleagues, to show up for him and be able to hold a space for him that maybe I can't do. And so it's about really trying to generate a movement in Southern Arizona where in the landscape of the United States and all the problems going on, crises around violence, gender, school shootings, mental health, all these different kinds of things, we can say, you know what, in Tucson, the men have taken on a call. They've taken on a mantle that we're gonna be showing up for all of the boys in this community. And so I think in a lot of ways, that's really the spirit of the luncheon. And so what happened was about 6 months ago, I got word from the university that the president's office had taken notice of our initiative. And the university themselves, they're really trying to spearhead a change in their campus culture when it comes to masculinity, violence, respectful behavior, consent. And so for them, it made sense and was important to partner with an organization that is working at the high school adolescence level so that by the time boys get to college, they're ready to do that stuff. And in the right kind of way.
That's powerful. You answered the question that I was going to ask before I asked it, and that was, what was the hook, right? What gets President Robbins to the event, right? What gets head coach Kevin Sumlin? And, you know, I am highly involved, as many of my listeners know, with an organization in town that works on retaining and attracting young people 21 to 45, right? We need that age group to be filling our positions, to be creating new jobs, to be entering the workforce. But the more I've done this show, the more people I've talked to, the more I've realized that that conversation actually starts in middle school and high school,
right?
Maybe even earlier. It doesn't start at the point of 21 to 45. It starts it starts way back. And it's so interesting, Michael, we're with Michael Brasher, the executive director of Boys to Men Tucson. We're talking mentorship. Is that my dad actually told me the same thing? You know, great dad, brought his work home, raised my brother and I because he wanted to be a dad to men.
That's cool.
But he said the same thing, that, you know, you need mentors other than me in your life.
Right.
And I think it was interesting for a dad to tell his son, you need to find other men.
That's cool.
And he didn't just say it. He helped put other men around me.
Yeah.
And as I look back, as I talk with you today, I think that was a huge part of my growth and development. And Boys to Men Tucson is helping young men get that who may not have that support already at home, or maybe have decent support, but need other men in their life to speak into some of these issues. So I'm excited about this. I should let you do more of the talking, Michael.
No, that's really kind of you. No, it is exciting, you know, and what I want to highlight and pick up on just that you said is it is. It's a both and. So, you know, you mentioned, so we do our school-based mentorship program. That's weekly, but we do adventure outings out into the community. Just, you know, a lot of times we'll go into nature, do hikes, different
things. That's right. Yep.
But we also
you're good at this. It's like you're reading my notes.
Thank you. We also do these things called Challenge Adventure Weekends, which in a lot of ways is trying to produce kind of a modern, low-key rite of passage reflection experience weekend for boys. But I guess what I'm trying to get at is in all of that, we're really just trying to create spaces, consistent, thoughtful spaces in the community where it's intergenerational manhood is being practiced in thoughtful, caring, loving, vulnerable ways. And so the boys that participate in all these programs, some of them, exactly, they do have a good man in their life, but they need more. Some of them, you know, we know that there's high rates of poverty in Tucson.
Right.
And so a lot of them, even if they have a great man in their life, just the amount that parents are working for a lot of these kids in the Title I schools, it's not realistic for them to get tons of quality time with their parents. And then the other part of it, right, which is that we know that there are boys, that a lot of boys in Tucson who are growing up with, you know, men who are either absent or men who are abusive in their home. And that also needs an intervention.
I mean, you know, Michael Brescher, executive director of Boys to Men, we talk about poverty, when we talk about crime, when we talk about retention. I've been bullish on mentorship for years in Tucson in different ways because it is at least a piece of the solution to all those things. So many things we talk about on the air daily the needle would be moved on. As we support organizations like yours. I want to get into just a couple of quick kind of lightning round nuts and bolts so our listeners know how they can plug in. What's the age range of the young men that are a part of your program? And what's the age range for the older men that are a part of your program?
Interesting. Okay, so, you know, in general, what we say is teenage boys. In the school, we mainly work with eighth graders, sometimes seventh graders sit in our circles as well, but eighth graders through seniors. So we're in 11 different schools, but it's predominantly teenage boys. And then for the mentors, you know, we have guys who are 19 who were, you know, they've sat in a school circle for the last 3 years and they just graduated from high school and now they're mentors in circles right away. And those guys are awesome, powerful mentors. They get it a lot better than some of the rest of us. And all the way up through men who are in their 80s who are sitting in circle every single week. We have a really fantastic diversity and range of mentors.
I keep saying on the air, young men and women, and I'll go teens through late 30s, want mentors, right?
Yes.
I think a lot of my older friends think that younger generations just don't want anything to do with the older generation. And I have found that to be completely opposite of the truth. Real quick, Michael, any way that we can plug into the luncheon? Are there some seats available? Any way to donate? You guys are almost full though, right?
We are almost full. We're right at the edge of capacity. I am doing my best job. Thank you so much. I'm doing my best to be creative to figure out where I can, because I'm continuing to get requests to get into the room. And so there might be a little bit of wiggle room if somebody has a passion to be in there. We also have a page set up for the event where folks who aren't able to participate in the luncheon can still donate, can still try to bid and win some of the awesome silent auction items that we have. We have some really cool experiences that the university has donated through the athletic department and some different things like that. And I guess the last thing I just want to say is we do have some folks who are going to be putting together a video of President Robbins, Coach Sumlin, and we have some boys who are speaking at the luncheon, some mentors. And so there will be a chance for folks who want to kind of see what it was all about but couldn't get into the room to still see it through that video.
Super. So more importantly, if someone listening, and I would urge we have some great men, like I said, that I talk to every day who listen to this program, that may want to step into mentorship. How do they get a hold of Boys to Men, Tucson, or yourself to kind of say, hey, I'm raising my hand.
Yeah.
I want to be a mentor if there's room for me.
Yeah, absolutely. So we have a few different ways. You know, first I'll just direct folks online. Our website is btmtucson.com, as in Boys to Men, btmtucson.com. All of our social media is at Boys to Men Tucson. And so if you go to our webpage, there's just a lot of information that kind of lays it out. You know, why is this men's work? What would it look like to get involved? Folks can email information@btmtucson.com. That's just our website, and information@btmtucson.com to get more. But really, for folks, there's a range of ways to step in. You know, you could just come and hang out at an adventure outing with us and spend time with the boys and see how you feel about it. In January, we're going to do a huge training. We'll probably do two of them, and we'll probably train about 30 men to be mentors through those two trainings. So folks can certainly sign up for that if they feel like they're ready to commit to sitting in a school circle. And then they would just get plugged into a circle for the spring semester.
Very cool. Oh, I hope some of our listeners do that. Michael Brasher, Executive Director of Boys to Men Tucson, thank you for spending time. Busy week, event week, I know how it goes, so I appreciate your time. Thank you for the work that you and your team are doing. It really is important. It's the root cause of, I think, a lot of the challenges that we struggle with in Tucson. So it's good work. I'm thankful you're doing it. And let's set up another time. It'd be great to have a mentor-mentee relationship come in and talk about their experience.
That would be awesome.
We'll set that up. Good luck this week. Yeah.
Thank you so much for having me.
Excited to join you at that luncheon. I appreciate the opportunity.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Wonderful. When we come back from the break, ever wonder what a working artist studio looks like? 150 artist working studios will be open to explore. We're going to talk to Carol Varney, the organizer of it, after the break. Don't go away, Tucson. We're coming right on back. Tucson, welcome back to the show. After bottom of the hour news, you're listening to the Creative City Show with me, your host, Zach Yenser, here in the 1030 The Voice studios every day, Monday through Friday. We share the stories and strategies of the people and ideas shaping Tucson's future in this pivotal Tucson moment. It's why we do this show. I think we're at a tipping point. I think the conversations we have, the decisions we make in the next 5 or 10 years will decide our next 50. And so we get up every morning and do this show with you and do it together. And speaking of the future, our first half of the hour was with Boys to Men mentoring in Tucson. So many of the public crises and challenges that we face in Tucson are root caused in young men and women having great men and women in their lives from the beginning. Boys to Men is focused on boys to men mentoring. And they have a great event coming up this Friday. We wanted to spotlight with U Arizona President Robbins and U Arizona football coach Kevin Sumlin. And so we're talking about mentorship. But we're going to change, we're going to flip the page a little bit. And in studio with us now is Carol Varney, the Executive Director of the Arts Foundation for Tucson and Southern Arizona. Here to talk about Open Studio Tours, a free self-guided tour presented by the Arts Foundation that gives the public a peek inside the creative workspaces of local artists from various disciplines. 150 participating local artists from various disciplines will be showing you where they work, where they get it done, and what creates the art that in so many ways makes Tucson what it is. Carol Varney, thanks for coming to the studios.
Thanks so much for having me. Nice to see you too.
Yeah. So tell me about the first moment where the idea to do a free self-guided tour in different creative spaces in Tucson came to be. What was that aha moment of, we should do this? It's a great idea.
I wish I could tell you exactly, but it definitely predated me by many, many years. I know Open Studio Tours has been happening in Tucson for over a decade, and probably close to 2 decades. And I will say that when I came on at the Arts Foundation a couple of years ago, we did reach out to the community to ask them, of all of the services that the Arts Foundation provides, what are the things that are most important to you? And loud and clear, it came back, Open Studio Tours is one of the most important things that the Arts Foundation can do for the community. And it's a great way for people across the community, but also from elsewhere, to come and connect one-on-one with artists in their studios, as you said, to see where the work is made and to learn more about how the work is made and why the work is made.
So maybe it would make sense to back up just a little bit. What are the mission and goals of the Arts Foundation, and how does the Open Studio Tour fit into that?
Sure. Well, the mission of the Arts Foundation, which many listeners may know as the Tucson Pima Arts Council, changed its name a few years ago to the Arts Foundation for Tucson and Southern Arizona, is to advance artistic expression, civic participation, and equitable economic growth of our diverse community by supporting, promoting, and advocating for arts and culture in our region. And we have five main goals, but of the five, I would say there are three that the Open Studio Tours really aligns with. That's community impact, arts coalition building, and organizational stability. In this case, I'd say artist stability in the region.
Very cool. You know, it was so interesting. It's probably a mutual friend of mine. I ran into Damian Klinko at a coffee shop on my way here, and he said, you know, we should talk about sometime and how the arts supports our local Tucson economy. Mm-hmm. And that'd be a great concept to talk about. Didn't have to wait very long because, of course, I was about to come in and talk with Carol Varney here in studio, the executive director of the Arts Foundation for Tucson and Southern Arizona. How does Tucson benefit from our arts culture and our community connecting to our arts culture?
Sure. Well, certainly having these open studio tours, as I said, is one way for people to truly connect with the artists one-on-one. And this year we really are focused on actual studios, so not for-profit centers where artists might be able to show otherwise, but real one-on-one connection with artists. And knowing that we might be talking about this today, I did a little bit of research, and the U.S. Business Association and Department of Labor have some great statistics about how supporting local businesses like local artists gives back to the community. Local businesses are more likely to use other local businesses like credit unions to do their work. And for every $100 spent locally, $68 of that stays local. Mm. So that really does impact the local community. And independent retailers return three times as much money for every dollar spent than national chains do. Plus, they just create a better community for us all to live in. And I think what's exciting about Open Studio Tours is you can look at the map online and you can see there are artists in every single ward in the city who are going to be at Open Studio Tours and every single district in the county. So you can choose to do a tour right in your neighborhood. And I'm sure that people will come away realizing how much that artist gives back to its own community.
For sure. You know, we every now and again, at least a couple times a year, we have Michael Peel from Local First Arizona.
Yep.
And he's talking about it from a private independent owned business side of things, not necessarily art, but includes art a lot of the times.
Right.
And he has similar numbers. Mm-hmm. The amount of money that stays in our community when local businesses, local artists, you know, local people are supported is really amazing. It's a huge boost.
It is.
And it's cool to see it crosses sectors no matter what.
It's true. And I also think that when you talk with folks like Visit Tucson, who really do research on why do people come and visit the Tucson area, Pima County, a huge part of why people want to come here is because of the cultural assets that it has. And that's from nature to artists. But artists get brought up a lot. And I think that there's definitely something about Tucson that attracts creative people. And it makes people want to come here and spend money locally as well.
The numbers you mentioned are national and regional, but you've found that the Open Studio Tours have a direct impact on our local artists. Mm-hmm. Has there been anything that you've been able to measure as far as economic impact or success in retaining artists? What's that local impact look like?
Absolutely. Well, when we did survey artists to ask them about what's important about the work that we do, when we did hear that Open Studio Tours is a very important piece of our work, what we heard is that Open Studio Tours, the two weekends that it happens in the fall of each year, is the one time when artists really have the opportunity to meet their potential customers one-on-one, and they sell more art during Open Studio Tours than they do any other time of year.
Wow.
Even if they have an online store where you can buy something, it's that one-on-one connection that really makes
a
difference. And I think it's great that it's just before the holidays, so people can, you know, choose to buy local and support their local artists while making their shopping list for the year.
It's almost like you did that on purpose.
Almost.
Oh, love it. One last question for you, because I want to spend the next segment giving our listeners a real kind of practical look at how to get involved in this and how to find the map, how to participate, what are the dates. Is the quantity and variety of artists that participate? And what does that say about our city?
Sure. Well, what's really exciting this year is we have With the map that which we'll talk about later, you can actually choose artists you'd like to see based on their location, but also based on the medium in which they work. And we have, as you mentioned, 150 artists who are participating this year, and you can see anything from ceramics to painting to sculptural work, metal work. The diversity is truly incredible, and I think we have more painters than anything else, but really, if there's any medium you like, 3D work, it's all there.
Amazing. And when this opportunity to have this conversation crossed my desk, I loved the opening line, "Ever wonder what a working artist studio looks like?" Mm-hmm. And I love the fact that it's a free self-guided tour that gives the viewer a peek inside the creative workspaces of artists from various disciplines. I mean, there's so many layers of this that I think is cool. There's not just the art piece, not just the artist piece, but also the geography of it, that it's, this is happening in neighborhoods, that this is happening in community space. This is happening where the artists are making it happen.
Indeed, I know. We had one artist who contacted me who said, "I work out of my garage. Is that okay?" That's great. That's where you work. Open your garage.
Even better.
Yeah.
How authentic is that?
Right.
We're going to talk about the map of this when we're not crunched against the segment, because I don't want to crunch it. But if you had to give us a sense of the geography of this, maybe give me the north and south or the east and west. Well, what parts of town are we going to get the chance to stop in artist garages and check out their art? How cool is that?
Well, as I mentioned, there are artists represented in every ward and every district across Tucson and Pima County. The North Tour is this weekend, and it is artists who are working above Grant Road.
Okay.
And the second weekend is south of Grant Road, and it's as far east as you can drive and as far west as you can drive, pretty much remain in Pima County.
That's amazing. Well, we have, I wanted to talk about the Arts Foundation with you and the work that you do. Carol Varney is the Executive Director of the Arts Foundation for Tucson and Southern Arizona. We're talking specifically about the Open Studio Tours, a great way to see the art being done in our city and to support those artists. When we come back, we're going to talk about the tour specifically, how to get involved, how to schedule in your calendar, how to drive around and see what's being done in our community. So much more to go, Tucson. That's going to close out our hour. Come on back, 10:30 The Voice, trusted local news and talk. Tucson, welcome back to the show. We're going to continue with our interview about Open Studio Tours in a minute, but I wanted to highlight again a really special sponsor of our program, HR Resolve. Now, here's the thing. I fit into this bucket, and I know so many people who do. If you've started a business, if you're running a team, you are creative, you are visionary, you work well with people, but sometimes that skill set doesn't always come with the ability to stay on top of the nuts and bolts and details in the way that you would like. And especially when it comes to building teams and HR tools and payroll and healthcare, that can just feel like a really important part of your business, but one that just is a burden on your back. Well, HR Resolve is a local company designed to help other local small and mid-sized businesses provide the human resource services that will make your team feel like they're taken care of by a big company. Taking care of your team, like I said, is critical, but figuring out things like payroll and healthcare can just seem like a complicated step to business growth and health, but it doesn't have to be. I'd invite you to call Shanae and the team at HR Resolve at 520-867-8384 to start the conversation for your business about how they can take that piece off your plate so you can do what you're good at. And don't feel bad about that. Do what you're good at. Partner with people like Shanae who can do what you're good at. And I'll just plug this real quick as well. What I love about working with Shanae is her heart and her team's heart is for local small and mid-sized businesses in Tucson. They're not a chain. They don't have a corporate headquarters somewhere else. There's not an office here. Shanae is a Tucson business owner who wants to help other business owners avoid the headaches that she learned how to figure out. That's what she does at HR Resolve. 867 867- 8384 to start that conversation. Carol Varney, welcome back to our conversation together.
Thank you.
Yes, and we are talking about the open studio tours that are happening across two weekends, if I'm not mistaken, here in Tucson, where people can take a self-guided tour to visit 150 artists in the places where they're creating the art that puts Tucson on the map. How cool is that?
It's amazing.
So give us a sense of the map, and then we'll talk about how people can jump on in and be a part of this across those two weekends.
Sure. There are a few places where you can find the map for Open Studio Tours. The easiest place to check it out is online at ost.artsfoundtucson.org. And then you'll see a link at the top of the page for the map. You can also check out a paper map that's in the middle of Zocalo magazine for the month of October. So if you prefer paper, you can go there. And if you prefer online, you can go to ost.artsfound.org.
Super. And again, this is a self-guided tour. So if someone wants to participate in this, buy some art, buy local art as gifts for yourself or gifts for somebody else's holiday season. There's no docent, there's no tour guide. You are it. Mm-hmm. You'll have to go find that map. And you mentioned that it's north of Grant, and then south of Grant. It's kind of your boundary. Mm-hmm. When's the north tour happening?
So the north tour is happening this weekend, the second and third north of Grant, from 10 to 5.
I'm still catching on to the fact that November 2nd and 3rd is this weekend.
This weekend.
November is
shocking.
This weekend.
It is. Yes.
Oh, man. I've had friends message me to schedule. We're going to schedule something out in November. And I'll be like, you realize it's 2 days from now.
it's happening.
So the North Tour, November 2nd through the 3rd, this weekend, 10 to 5. Mm-hmm. And then that South Tour is happening the weekend after.
The second weekend, the 9th and 10th, from 10 to 5.
Super. And you mentioned just briefly that it's as far east as you would imagine and as far west as you would imagine across
the city. Within the Pima County borders, as far east and west as you can get.
Incredible. Are we starting to reach up to Marana or Valley, even north of that?
Indeed. Okay. I'm looking the map right now. We have artists who are up in Catalina. We have artists in Oro Valley, over near Picture Rocks at Saguaro National Park. Let's see. That would be west and east. So, yeah, all over.
Super. Now, one of the things that you're really wanting to show the community is the community engagement with this. Is there a way for folks who go to provide feedback and say, I went, or kind of what is that ongoing experience?
Absolutely.
Like?
Well, after the tours are over, we do ask for feedback from the artists who participated, and we'll ask them a combination of how many folks came, what worked, what didn't work for you. If you're just a visitor to Open Studio Tours and you'd like to give feedback, you can always email us at info@artsfoundtucson.org.
The Open Studio Tours have been going on for a few years now. I believe you said
more than a decade.
More than a decade. If you kind of look at the average, you have an average. How does Tucson turn out?
It really depends. It's hard to say. Yeah. What I'm especially excited about this year is that in addition to just having the map available, we also wanted to see how we could do better for our earth and lower our potential carbon footprint of Open Studio Tours. So not only can you drive, not only can you walk in your neighborhood based on the map, we also asked artists to put into their information if they have bike racks and secure parking for bikes at their studios and what the public bus routes or other public transit routes might be that could get them to the tour. So you can create an entire tour based on bus routes as far out as you want to go, or on where you might be cycling on the weekend and connect to local restaurants in the area before or after you go on the tour. So I'm excited about that.
That's pretty cool. For any of our listeners who jumped in maybe just a few minutes ago, we're talking paintings. Are we talking pottery? Are we talking, as they're putting their Christmas shopping list together and wondering, what can I buy on this tour? How can I support? What are the items that people can expect?
Sure. Well, just a few of the things, because there are many, many things and more than I can mention here, but there's photography, ceramics, painting. There are 32 painters who are participating just in weekend one of the tour. There's metalwork, glass, jewelry, sculpture, drawings, textile work, you name it, it's on the tour.
That's excellent.
And I think it's exciting because, you know, how often do you get to see metal workers in the space where they're doing the work, or fiber artists doing
right.
the work? You know, how you can ask artists, how do they do that work? How much do they create in a year? What inspires them?
Right.
You can also check out on Arts Foundation's website and on our social media. We have done a few tours already of some of the studios that will be part of the tour, so you can get a sense of what kinds of things will be on view and the kinds of questions you might want to ask artists.
You know, I'm really glad that you brought that point up again, Carol Varney. The studio tour is unique in that it's not that someone created their art and then brought it somewhere else and now you can see it somewhere else. Mm-hmm. It's that you're in their space.
Mm-hmm.
They may have just, you know, taken it off the easel or mm-hmm. just, you know, finished handcrafting it. You can see where it's happening. And that's a unique element of this that you may not be able to get outside of this specific event, I'd imagine. There's probably not much in the community quite like this, right?
There are a few other open studio tours that happen over the course of the year. This is definitely the biggest one. With the largest number of artists. And I think in addition to seeing work that is just completed, you'll also see works in progress. A lot of artists have works that are either on the easel or about to go into the kiln that you can see as they're in process and talk to the artist about how they're getting inspiration to do that work.
Super. If you're listening, 790-2040 is your Liveline opportunity to call in. I imagine if you're living in a certain part of town or you are trying to think through your schedule and have any questions about how to start, where to start, we'd love to get Carol's thoughts on that for you while we have her for just a few more few minutes. There's 150 artists here.
Mm-hmm.
If someone listening is going, where the heck do I start?
Yeah.
Right. I want to ask you a question. It may be tough, and you can bypass it if
okay.
you want. You tell me. This is not a priority list. This is not a top five list. But if just Carol Varney, just someone who loves the arts, were to recommend four or five maybe places to start, 150 is a lot of people.
It is.
And it's kind of overwhelming.
Yeah.
Any recommendations on, you know, 5 or 10 that would be great to tour?
Sure. I'm not going to recommend any specific artists because they all have their own, you know, everyone has their own reason to go to see a different artist. But I will say that for me personally,
that was the best possible
answer.
Well, it's
true.
And it is true.
It's
which
just
is
true. And I like all different kinds of art. And
sure.
So what I'm going to try to do on these tours is I look at the map and try to figure out where to go is look for some medium that I might not be able to see otherwise readily available. So I'm personally going to look at metalwork because that's something that's mm-hmm. interesting to me, but that I don't get to see very much of how it's made. I would also recommend that if you do go to the website, again, it's ost.artsfoundtucson.org. Each of the artists does a meta tag of the kinds of work that they do. So if you prefer to see ceramics, you can just click on ceramics and see all of the ceramicists who are in the tour on North or South weekends, or you can click on any other medium that you want to see. So I think you could design something around the medium that you're interested in. You could also just look at a map and say, you know what, I've never been to that part of town before. I've never been to that part of Pima County before. I didn't even know that you could get there. And design something either around something very local or something far away that you wouldn't necessarily have gone to otherwise.
Very cool.
Yeah.
And again, I liked your answer because it's so true. Mm-hmm. I mean, art is a very personal.
It is.
It's a very personal experience. I was talking to a young artist. We have a young artist in town who is just worldwide known. I mean, mm-hmm. some of the people we have in this city are mm-hmm. incredible that nobody knows about.
Yeah.
And he shared the insight that art is a very personal thing.
It is.
Right? It's something that is very tailored to you and what you're looking for and your design and your preferences. And you actually start to get a feel over time about of what art is really you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what is most reflective of you. And so, you know, when I think people think about collecting art, it's, well, what will look good on that wall?
Right.
But the experiences, and that's me, by the way, you know, but over time, it becomes a very, very personal experience.
Absolutely.
And the open studio tours, again, this weekend and next weekend from 10 to 5,
mm-hmm.
starting with the North Tour, ending with the South Tour, will allow folks to go and see 150 artists where they make their art. One more time, Carol Varney, the website where people can go and get that map and start planning their schedule.
Sure. It's OST, so Open Studio Tours, OST.artsfoundtucson.org.
Super. Well, thank you so much for being on the program and for the work to put this together. I can't imagine the coordination is easy, but
the
I think
team is doing a great job.
The team is doing a great job. It's worthwhile work. So thank you so much.
Thank you very much for having me.
It was great to have you on the show. And speaking of local businesses that we get to support, this segment is sponsored in part by Vantage West and the Thrive Series. The Vantage West Thrive Interview Series are 3 to 5 minute conversations with business leaders from diverse community organizations discussing the ins and outs of what it takes to run a successful business in Tucson and how being community-minded has helped them be more competitive. I've gotten to sit down with the Ignite Sign Art Museum, Barrio Bread, Hotel McCoy, Pure Metal, Monsoon Chocolate. You can watch all the latest episodes by going to vantagewest.org/ThriveAZ. vantagewest.org/ThriveAZ. Thanks to Vantage West Credit Union for their commitment to helping the local artists, the local business owners, the local community members thrive. And be sure to keep an eye out for a bunch of new episodes through the end of the year. So many of these businesses are exactly what Carol Varney has been talking about, some of the artisans and artists that are making Tucson what it is. Well, that does it for us here on the program today. As we close out the week, Free Fall is coming in, a statewide award-winning enterprise out of the University of Arizona. We're going to celebrate that with them tomorrow. So come on back, and so much more. Doug, Jen, and Victoria coming up after me, and then Bill Buckmaster coming up at noon, as he always does. Fletcher McCusker is coming on, and a little bit of talk about a proposition that will raise wages for mayor and council. So much more to go here on 1030 The Voice, trusted local news and talk. This is Zach with the Creative City Show, signing out. See you Thursday.